Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is the Sunday show at 6 p.m. on Progressive Roundtable of the Week in Review and News and Events and whatever comes up. Hi, guys. I'm with Ronald Feynman, author and progressive professor, and Wayne Johnson.
Hello, everybody.
Hey. Hello, hello.
So
we're a great trio here.
Yeah.
How's your week going, gentlemen?
What a week it's been, huh?
I don't know. You tell me. I'm not paying attention to the news right now.
Oh, really? Well, I mean, you know, the American Rescue Plan Act passed, and it's going out as we speak. And that's a good sign. It's seen as the most significant legislation since the Great Society of the 1960s.
Right.
Explain to me why.
It's going to indeed give families with children a lot of support, and they say the childhood poverty will go down by 50%. Of course, I wish it was 100%, but that's happening. Mm-hmm. And it's giving most Americans, except the very wealthy, a stimulus per person of $1,400. So, I mean, and then there's many other things, you know, as far as support for state and local governments, which, let's face it, I mean, you know, they can only raise taxes so much, and they'll have a problem keeping, you know, police, firefighters, teachers, nurses, sanitation workers, and others like that. So that's good. And, you know, and also supporting the opening of schools. So there's a lot of good stuff in this.
Right. And plus, too, the really good thing that I see is people who have suffered being laid off, the restaurants that closed. So you have everybody and the waitresses, the bartenders, the chefs, the cooks, things like that. And those, anybody else who has been reduced hours, reduced kind of paychecks because of COVID and no fault of their own, they're hardworking people. Now, I want to say that again. I'm doing it air quotes. Hardworking, good people will be getting relief to at least be able to maybe catch up on some bills, get their feet back under them. Out in California, one city gave their citizens like $500 a month. And because they had that break, people who were having to work like two and three jobs were then able to step back, relax, and go out and look for a better job so that one job paid what they needed to be able to make their ends meet and pay the bills. They found out to be very successful. So I see the stimulus check, the stimulus aspect, doing the exact same thing.
What is this?
We be jamming now.
I think it's Stockton, California, I think is the city you're talking about.
Yeah, thank you. You're right, Professor. Thank you very much. Good Jack. Good man. And that's what I see, that this new stimulus package that's just passed and going out to everybody, having the same effect nationwide.
I want to remind you, Andrew Yang, who was one of the people running for president who didn't get very far, is now running for mayor of New York. I don't know if he'll be the nominee in June, but he has, of course, been a promoter of this idea of a supportive income for people who are down and out. And it could be maybe that'll get him to the mayoralty. We don't know, but he is running for mayor now as one of the multitude of candidates in New York City. And once the primary is over, it's pretty much done because the Republicans cannot win New York. So whoever is nominated in June will be the next mayor.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. And we need good people like that in government.
Well, do you think that okay. I mean, what do you think about what? Yeah,
we're convincing you.
I'm just here for the ride, gentlemen.
That sounds like many of my students. I'm just kidding around.
What about teachers and schools and all of this and concerning my point would be here that, I mean, I got vaccinated.
And you have also, right?
Not me, man. I'm still waiting here. I got too much of a pop.
Waiting, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
My wife got the first shot, but she had to go over to the Eastern Shore the facility over there to get it because, yeah, it's just availability.
Yeah, well, my son in Bethesda has not gotten it yet. You know, he's 41. So, yeah, I guess a lot of people in Maryland still have to wait. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, I've gotten the Pfizer shots. I will say this, that they are coming out with just a one shot now, I know. We have a multiplication table, a multiplication right now of those variant strains that are resistant to these vaccines, they already know.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering just how far down the road, and I don't mean to be a negative Nelly here. I'm just looking at what, because I got itchy boot heels, and I have plans to be in Alaska in August, so I'm like, you know, geez.
Are you going to visit Sarah Palin when you're there?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to go visit Sarah Palin when you're there? I'm just kidding.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That,
yeah, right.
No, but I mean these.
See Russia,
know,
from a house. Don't forget.
I actually had to cancel at the beginning of all this. I think it was in February of last year. I had to cancel plans to be in June in North Carolina to do workshops, and you know, it's this is my income, so it's like hard to do. But we have Zoom and all of that. The thing I want to do in Alaska is a personal trek out there, so it's like
I was in Alaska in 2010. Yeah,
it's someplace I'd really like to see. But my point is that if things gear back up because the virulence, you know, the virus manifesting in different, you know, shifts as it is, you know, it's metamorphosizing. I still would not feel safe to get on a plane if I was, you know.
Well, hopefully
you
will be safe. Yeah, I just want to mention, I was in Alaska in 2010, and we were in Juneau, the capital. I discovered, of course, that was 2 years after Sarah Palin ran for VP. There was a whole Sarah Palin store of everything Sarah Palin. I remember going in there and looking around and saying, I can't believe this, but I didn't buy anything. But there was actually, they were making a business out of selling things Sarah Palin. I guess not now, but back in 2010 they did.
You're right.
Well, you know. Republicans never miss a beat to make money. I mean, their main theme seems to be, you know, business. But the week has gone by. You know, I don't see nearly, I will say that I kind of quit watching, too, because you don't see nearly enough of Vice President Harris on the news. But then again, I could be being unfair. I did catch.
I think she's in the news, but Vice President never gets as much attention as the President. But now they're both going around the country this next week, you know, to promote this plan, and it's extremely popular. You know, I think 75% supported, including many Republican voters, not the Republicans in Congress, but the voters.
Right.
And he's like 60% in the polls, and you know, talking about Biden. And never did Trump ever reach 50%, ever.
No, no. Well, I can say that Kamala Harris is also spending a lot of time working back and forth from D.C. and California, okay? And you two know how I know that bit, because somebody has to travel with her. And so
I can serve this. That's right. You know, a secret agent. So this person goes with her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. We don't want to say any more on that. But yes, that's that's what she is doing. She is working. She's working very hard. And she's bouncing back and forth from D.C. to California right now is where her time is being spent.
Yeah, I think the problem is everybody expects that even the president's not held a press conference, but he speaks every day. And the thing is, Trump never held press conferences for a long time, but now everybody's saying, Joe hasn't had a press conference yet. He doesn't need to have it regularly. He's keeping in touch in other ways, but he's not a publicity hound either, like Trump was.
Right. Well, the other thing I'd like to bring up here, of course, old Ron Johnson out of Wisconsin made a monumental ass of himself because he said, I'm doing air quotes, you know, there's good people, you know, that came in on the Capitol convergence. I wasn't afraid of them. I'd have been more afraid if they were Black Lives Matter. Hey,
yes,
they
I know,
killed
he said.
Cops. They injured. Guy lost his eye. One of the cops lost some fingers. I mean, I could go on and on with the atrocities that this crowd did. But he felt safe because they were white. Ron Johnson.
I wish somebody would interview him, not from Fox News or OAN, and say that to him. But what about the cops that, what you just said? I wonder how you would answer that if he was directly confronted with it, you know?
So you mean, Professor, that their motto and chanting of Blue Lives Matter is pure bullshit? Is that what we're saying?
Yes, apparently. It's all just for convenience. I hate to say it. He has my first name. I denounce Ron Johnson, and I denounce Ron DeSantis. I'm sorry they have my name.
Well, he's got my last name. I mean, what the hell? We're not related.
Oh, my gosh. He has your last name, but so does Andrew Johnson.
That's right. That's right.
But Lyndon Johnson at least is someone you can admire.
There you go.
So
that's a problem when you have a name like that. It's too common.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of Johnson.
I prefer my name. Even if they misspell it, I'm a fine man. How can you overcome that?
Right.
Wait a minute, Gwen.
So basically, excuse me. Basically, what you guys are saying is that this bill that just passed is going to bring resolution or a solvency to many people and bring the economy back into more of a thrive or to beginning to gear up. And
yes, that's what they're saying. No, I hope that's true. Seems that way, yes.
Yeah, there's you're going to see – you're going to see the economy, if these people can get their feet under back under themselves, you know, to prop themselves up, and the vaccine's taking over where we can open up businesses and things like that, you are going to see a good improvement in the economy and the unemployment rate dropping drastically too. So this is going to do nothing but help our country, period.
And it's not going to help the Republican Party because not one of them, not even the few who voted to convict or impeach Trump, even they did not vote for it. Nobody.
Yeah.
This is beyond belief. And yet last year, almost everybody in both parties voted for the first two bills under Trump for help. It's unbelievable, the hypocrisy.
Well, that was giving big tax breaks to their corporate donors.
Yes, and now you know, and now it's not happening, and people are complaining about that. You know, the wealthy are complaining they're not part of it.
Yeah, well,
that seems so ridiculous. I mean, it just really seems ridiculous to me that the wealthy are complaining about a stimulus check of $1,400.
Thank you, Gwen. Right.
That, frankly, is only going to give little repath to people who are suffering right now. It's very little, really. And,
well, there's no pledge that they won't do it again. They might try to do it later in the year if they feel a need to. I don't think it's necessarily the end of it. It depends on how things go, you know.
What comes to my mind when I hear the corporate Republicans and their mouthpieces like Mitch McConnell, et cetera, and on down?
Whose wife is in trouble now.
Oh, I do know that. She's being investigated for her appropriations of her funds. But what comes to my mind is, okay, guys, this 1% we're talking about. How much money do you need to have stuffed in your pockets when you die? You know? Yeah. How are you going to use that? You know, what were your plans for that?
A wealthy enough, and I think, and they're such cheapskates because I think they think they're going to take it into King Tut's grave, you know, and they're going to be able to use it there.
Yeah, that's right. I think we've proved it over the last 4,000 years that you ain't taking it with you. The Egyptians didn't, the Greeks didn't.
You might take it with you, we'll discover it.
It ain't going with you. You know, Carnegie left it here, he didn't take it with him. I could just name names. Kevin.
They all made sure that it stayed in the family for Stirpes, and they also made sure that they were doing enough altruistic work with their money so that they didn't have to pay heavy taxes.
That was
before Clinton deregulated and stuff and allowed the Republicans to have that, which was, you know, really bad. really bad.
Yeah.
Well, the big thing that's also been talked about this week is that Joe Biden may have come from a background that seemed very moderate, you know, and maybe not satisfying to a lot of progressives, but he's really moved to the left a lot in what he's saying and what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's surprising people in that. I don't know how far he'll go, but even Bernie Sanders seems fairly happy at this point. And Elizabeth Warren.
Go.
Lots of folks think he's basically just, you know, given face time to it so that it keeps things balanced between the fighting factions and the DNC.
Right.
You know, you've got a progressive group that is growing stronger and stronger as each election cycle goes by. And then you've got that old busted ass machine that keeps running things. Held at the edge of nowhere politically.
Because I just read here, and I think it was Nevada, Professor, help me out here, make sure it's right, that
Yes. All
the DNC, those that were running the DNC in Nevada resigned because all the seats were won by the Democratic Socialist. So the old guard, they all resigned because the new Democratic Socialist, the new movement of the Bernie Sanders, got all the seats in the Democratic Party out there.
Hey, well, I do think it seems like the Democratic Party is more to the left than it was under Carter or Clinton and even Obama. And Obama was a little too cautious, I think, by the showing signs, hopefully, that he's not going to be as cautious as Obama. So he could be the most liberal, in quotes, since LBJ in the Democratic Party.
I think it was Schumer that said that, hey, look, this is not 2008. We are not going to try to go along to get along, make deals,
right. You
know, sacrifice our moral values and stuff to get the other board, you know, the others, you know, basically the corporate Republicans to help come along with us. We're just going to ramrod shit through and let the bodies fall where they lay.
And Schumer's come across very well. I have to say Schumer, I've never been all that thrilled about, but I think he's come across as a very strong leader, keeping everybody together, including on the right Manchin, and managed to get total loyalty, except for the $15 wage, but that can come up in a separate bill, and I think they're going to fight for it. It's just not in this bill.
The $15 wage isn't really, you know, it would be very helpful, I agree, but it really doesn't come up to spark.
And the problem with it anyway is that they're talking about by 2025. By then we should have $20 an hour or more. I mean, it's not immediate. It will only start off at 11 and go slowly until 2025 to 15. Okay. So it's not, but it definitely needs to be raised. There's no question. You know, and I think it's going to happen. And the issue of voting, I think they're going to try to get a national voting law that can overrule all these states. Legislatures, at least bring it to the Supreme Court, and it will take time. So for a while, at least, the voting will probably be hopefully better than it's been because there'll be lawsuits, but it will still go into effect if it passes Congress.
Right. And the thing is when they put up the argument, well, that's $7.50 an hour, $7.25 an hour, you know, that's for like teenagers in high school working at night. You know, it's their entry-level jobs. You go to walk into a McDonald's and a lot of these Wendy's and any other these names that we've just talking about here. You look at the age demographic behind that counter. Yeah, there's some teenagers, but there's also a lot of 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60s, even 70-year-olds because they have to supplement their meager Social Security checks because they weren't paid what they were worth when they did have productive years in working life.
And some of
people
these people are maybe single mothers with kids who can't get anything better.
Oh,
and so they struggle, they work crazy hours, and they still don't have enough.
Exactly right. There's a lot of young kids with college degrees that unfortunately are still living at home because the wages that are being offered to out there, unless you have special skills that is in very big demand, is not keeping up with the cost of living.
Very sad.
Yeah.
Wow. And yet no conscience on their part, the Republicans, no empathy. In fact, I wrote this week about the Republican Party and how they really, you know, don't care about what's going on around them. As I said today, Republicans are outrageous at what they do not care about. The Republican Party of 2021 is not offended by the destruction of the environment that has been going on in the past 4 years under Donald Trump. They're not offended by the growth of childhood poverty due to the COVID-19 pandemic and the economic collapse of the past year. They are not offended by white supremacists carrying the Confederate flag into the U.S. Capitol on the day of the insurrection, January 6, 2021.
And Nazi flag. Which is really repulsive.
And also the one who I talked about the Holocaust, you know, about Auschwitz. That's also. Mm-hmm. And they're not offended by the loss of life to gun violence. They're not offended by the reality of African-Americans being killed by the police so often without consequences. They're not offended by the dangers that members of Congress face, along with the sitting Vice President Mike Pence, as a result of the traitors and seditionists who sought to bring harm to the Capitol building. They're not offended by the racism, nativism, misogyny, and homophobia of so many Republican members of Congress, as well as Donald Trump. They're not offended by the inability of tens of millions of Americans to have a living wage and increase the minimum wage, while the top few percent of the nation keeps on gaining obscene levels of wealth. These Republicans who dominate the party have no ethics, morals, scruples, conscience, common decency, compassion, empathy, or a sense of justice. You think that explains it all?
I think you pretty well covered it, Professor. Very good. Here's the other thing, too. When they say, the example, in Denmark, the average or the beginning wage for a McDonald's worker in Denmark is $22 an hour. Here it's $7.25. But your Big Mac in Denmark is 80 cents cheaper than it is here. Who's pocketing that big profit wage here, that difference?
Yeah.
So when they say to raise it up to 15, and people are like, your Big Mac's going to cost you $20. No, it don't. There's the proof. $22 an hour in Denmark, and the Big Mac is 80 cents cheaper than it is here when you're paying these people $7.25 an hour, $7.50 an hour.
Yes. I also wrote another thing about the Republicans saying that really the 2021 Republicans are like the Democratic Party of 1861. At the beginning of the Civil War. The Democrats were then the party of secession, treason, sedition, and white supremacy. Now the Republican Party is that.
Yeah.
160 years later.
It did a flip. Matter of fact, I lived through this when it did flip. Professor, I know that you are probably very well of this, but during the racial riots of the late 60s and the summer of 67,
the rise of Spiro Agnew,
right. They sent him because right after in Dorchester County, Cambridge, Dorchester County, this is where Harriet Tubman escaped from and started the Underground Railroad. There was a racial riot because they were having a peaceful demonstration because two black high school students, two just to be safe, dared to kneel down in the white-only lobby of the only movie theater in Cambridge, Maryland. They were arrested and were given 6 or 7 years in prison for that heinous crime. And people were demonstrating of that atrocity of racism. As they were marching peacefully down the street, the cops had their attack dogs or the guard dogs and shotguns, and they opened up on the people walking down the street. That's when all hell broke loose. Spiro Agnew sent in the National Guard, and when he squelched that down and beat it down with an armed fist, Pat Buchanan, there's a name for you, was a speechwriter for Richard Nixon as he was gearing up to run for the presidency. And Pat Buchanan told Nixon, says, take a look at this guy. He's going to be something, right? Maryland is considered a southern state, so they took Agnew, and he traveled around all over the South because Johnson had just gotten the Civil Rights Act all signed, and there was a lot of those good old boys, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, good, fine people, Klansmen, who were pissed that we gave blacks the civil liberties and the rights to be treated equally. And he flipped all of those Democrats to the Republican Party. That's why the South votes Republican today from pure racism that had been in the Democratic Party at that time. They just flipped to the Republicans. Spiro Agnew was the man that did that.
And we almost got stuck with President Agnew if it hadn't been found out that he was crooked. And we got Gerald Ford, thank goodness, replaced.
Right.
We could have had President Agnew. That was a horrifying thought, how close we came. Yeah?
That was another good Maryland boy, Maryland governor.
Oh, my God. Well, he was a rarity because he was a rare Republican governor. They were, Maryland's had very few such governors.
Yeah, we have very few Republicans. Well, Hogan is right now, too.
Yeah, Hogan's fairly decent, though, yeah. But, I mean, but really, it's still more blue states, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, it's still, basically, it's between that Washington-Baltimore corridor. That's where the largest of the population there is. So the Eastern Shore of Maryland is all farming, very sparse. They are Tea Party Klansmen still over there. And then you go into Western Maryland where you have the three-tooth goobers and I married my cousin and she's still my sister out there in the western part of the Appalachians of Maryland. There they vote, you know, that conservative Republican. But it's the Baltimore-Washington corridor that really decides the policies of this state.
Just like in Virginia now, Northern Virginia really decides how the state goes, you know.
Yeah, and that's Manassas, Alexandria.
Yes.
All those northern perimeters off of D.C.
Arlington, Virginia, all that, yes.
Right, right. Now, you get down to Lynchburg, that's where Jerry Falwell is. Those people are, they're the Jimmy Jones aspect, you know. It's like, you know, must drink the Kool-Aid, you know. Go out the
Yeah, well, Jerry Falwell Jr. is out of that area, though, now. I mean, he's not in the university anymore.
Right.
Right. Scandal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Traditionally, Lynchburg is where the moral majority all stemmed from during the Reagan, is what they called themselves, and it's still that religious fanaticism that is not based on any reality.
Yeah, I remember that time in class saying that that's the moral majority, I'm part of the immoral minority, and everybody would laugh.
And I'm proud to be immoral.
Except in quotes, because they're the ones that were not moral. You know, they just use
that. Oh, absolutely not. Right, right. You see, if there was ever a newspeak, Orwellian newspeak, it's like, you know, we're the moral majority. I don't think so.
They don't protest too much, as the saying goes.
There you go. That's right. We think it's all protest too much. Shakespeare knew what he was talking about.
Yeah. Especially doth protest, the way you have to say it.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Man, we need to bring you back in on this conversation.
No, that's okay. I'm listening to you guys.
I know.
The other thing that's happening in the country right now is the real estate market.
Florida is really booming. Everybody wants to move to Florida, it seems, because of warm weather, low taxes, you know.
Well, the thing is with this pandemic.
Yeah, it's the countryside that is getting a lot of sales in many states. I don't know about Florida, but a lot of
Florida.
Folks are moving.
Everybody
out
wants
there
to move here. Yeah.
Not everybody. Not the people I know.
That is a generalized statement.
Most good people are not real interested in Florida because of our reputation. I mean,
I wouldn't go there. Not today. I wouldn't go to Iowa either. And I always made that my home.
I mean,
Ohio
you
went off the nut bag in.
Yeah, this is like the draw for Republicans and retirees with nasty ideas, you know? I mean, it's become
I'm a retiree. I don't have nasty ideas.
Oh, of course not. And I would say the good part of the bottom of the state is full of really great folks.
Mm-hmm.
But this is Ku Klux Klan retirement zone here.
Well,
middle of the state. I mean,
in the middle,
I-4 corridor up into, you know, along the panhandle, and it really sucks because there's some beautiful territory there and there's wonderful land along the rivers here and stuff, but it's just folks, especially young people, do not care for, you know, unless there's a migration here, but it's usually immigrants from south that will come. Funny because a lot of Puerto Rican people who came up to live in Florida after the bad hurricane, those people actually voted for Trump. A lot of them. It's like, how stupid. People are stupid.
Well,
Masses are
asking. Not all Latinos are liberals, as people think. We're learning it's a very complex thing, especially Cubans and Venezuelans and Colombians.
Right.
And to be Republicans, you know. Now, Puerto Ricans, I don't understand. I really, because hey, what did Trump do for Puerto Rico? Nothing.
If anything, he shut on them.
Yeah.
He threw paper towels at them.
Yes.
It really is pretty awful. I mean, just awful. But you can say that about, like, certain parts of Kentucky or Texas or whatever that are, you know, or Mississippi or Missouri. I mean, you know, there are certain parts of this country where people are stuck. And it's like, I can remember I had one record, I think it was in Agata DeVita, and I'd put it on the turntable and it hit this bump and keep skipping and skipping and skipping.
Yeah.
And it's like, a culture that skips in certain parts of the country. It just keeps skipping. Nobody gets it. So
there was I'll
mention Mississippi, the governor there, Tate Reeves, rejected money from the federal government to allow more poor people in Mississippi to have Medicaid coverage. How obscene can you get?
Yeah. The Columbus Dispatch.
Well, you know, there was a payoff on that one. I just look at this stuff and think, my gosh, how many kickbacks can there be, you know?
Oh, yeah, there's got to be something like that. Absolutely.
It's like, Ron, do you think for New York moment that DeSantis didn't give it all to Publix for, you know, money in the back pocket?
Well, we know that because the heir to the Publix fortune, whatever her name is, the woman, it makes me not want to shop at Publix. But unfortunately, Publix is still, I think, the best supermarket to go to. I don't like Walmart, so.
Yeah.
Well, Whole Foods is in your neighborhood, too, you know.
Yes, that's
when it comes down to it, it's there's often better products there. And there's Aldi's also. I depended on Publix for quality and everything else, but I won't give them any business now at all because they have been, you know, they have not lived up to it, especially during the pandemic. They had to be pushed into it.
Kroger's. Kroger's laid off people because they said they made a ruling that, you know, your people, you know, should be given a bonus pay, hazardous duty pay, for lack of a better name, of being there working. So Kroger's, which is real dominant in Ohio and of that area there, excuse me, instead of paying the hazardous duty pay for those workers putting their lives in jeopardy, they decided to lay them off.
Oh, my God. I think I heard that, yeah.
That is true. That was Kroger.
How about that Ohio lately with the way things are? I'm not saying it's unique. Ohio seems really going downhill, doesn't it?
It really is bad. As a matter of fact, I just read an article and I sent it to a lot of my friends that have out there in the Columbus, Ohio area, that First Energy is now being charged along with, or it's coming out, that they've been charged and cited, and the leaders of the Republican Party, where they paid bribes, First Energy paid bribes to the tune of $56.6 million. And First Energy was supposed to be bankrupt, but somehow they were able to find $56-plus million to give to the Republican Party to pass laws saying the people of Ohio, especially that northern part of Ohio where they really serve, will pay subsidies, higher electric bills to keep that inefficient electric grid and generation running. They don't believe in capitalism. So that's, and they paid bribes to make it happen. And the head of the Republican Party for Ohio was the one that was cited. He was arrested, but he is still have his position in the Republican Party and in the Republican legislature.
Yes, oh my gosh. And now there's going to be a race for the Ohio Senate seat, Rob Portman, and some of the possibilities are really monstrous. I mean, this Josh Mandel, you know, is not well-liked, but he's a real Trumpite, and he's comes from a very wealthy northern Cleveland area family, and he's probably got a good shot at becoming the new senator, which, and Rob Portman was more moderate, you know.
Yeah. Well, the thing is,
Tim Ryan, the Democrat who ran for president, he's the best choice the Democrats seem to have, although Amy Acton is also the former health advisor there, who I know some people keep on attacking her, but I think she was right in what she said. But certain people you and I know keep on making fun of her and all that. You know who I mean without naming names.
Right. Well, then you have Jordan, who's in Congress, who was from the Columbus area, and he was one of the managing aspects of the wrestling team at Ohio State University, and he knew that they were taking those young boys, wrestlers, and ass-raping them. And I'm saying rape, not that they were willing. They were being ass-raped, and they shoved it under. He is sitting up in Congress shouting all kinds of morality that how vile and stuff the Democrats are. No, you allowed ass raping of the students of the OS, Ohio State University wrestling team.
Well, he's the most vile person. Well, one of the most vile people in the House of Representatives, but he's not running for the Senate. Maybe because he figures it'd be too much exposure. Maybe I don't know why he's not running.
Well, I think there's still a lot of investigation going on with him and possible charges. The thing is with the way the Republicans are now. Have so overwhelmingly controlling every damn part of the Ohio State legislature, they'll probably sweep it under the rug and protect him. And, well, it's just like they know Trump was committing treason and decided a treasonous riot against the nation's capital. And, he's not guilty. We're not going to find him guilty of a
He may be indicted very soon from what we hear in New York or Georgia.
But it ain't going to be from the damn Republicans in the Senate. It's going to be the actual courts and the judicial system out of New York, D.C.
And Georgia.
And Georgia, yes. I knew there was another one.
It would be the most dangerous because it sounds like they're really going after. But in each case, the person who's most involved in pursuing, as well as the attorney general or the DA, happens to be an African-American woman in all three cases. That's just it just happens to be not the only person. But they're the one in charge. And, oh, my God, can you imagine what you're going to hear on Fox News and elsewhere?
That's going to be the backlash. But, yeah, I wouldn't want to piss off, and I might maybe generalizing here, but a black woman with authority who this man has shit on all his whole life, and they've got the power to go after him for his criminal activities.
And if all three of them do it, can you imagine a triple whammy?
I say go for it. Right? Give them everything they need. But you can bet the dollar there. The race baiting is going to be whipped up. See, these black people get a little bit of trouble, and they're going after every damn white person in here. It's going to be just like South Africa. That's the shit you're going to hear. That's my projection.
Well, as you know, Republicans are trying to prevent people from voting. Almost every state legislature is Republicans trying to make it harder for everybody to vote, meaning particularly minorities.
Great. They're squelching the minority votes. Black and
no shame. If you're doing it, think it'd be a little embarrassed. There's no shame or embarrassment.
No.
Because they seem to get away with what they want to get away with, you know? So Senate, I listened to some of them reading the bill, and I was...
We're required to do so because of... who was it? I think it was it Ron Johnson? I think it was Ron Johnson insisted on every word being written. It took like 22 hours to do it or something like that. What a nightmare this guy is, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well,
he's the worst of the worst of the worst. Imagine he makes some other people seem not as worse.
Well, he's been cited for corruption or something. Isn't he under investigation for some kind of monetary misdeed right now?
Talking about Ron Johnson?
I don't know about Johnson. Yeah. I don't recall that at the moment, but so many of them have ethical problems, but they just keep on going on. But now they have an attorney general who's been confirmed who is going to really go after the criminal activities of January 6th. And so Merrick Garland is going to be there to be their nightmare.
We can only hope. But the thing is, and I have to, and a lot of people have said that, you know, for being a devil's advocate, is I'll repeat it for that aspect. I'll believe it when I see it. I'm afraid that something is going to go down, but it's not going to be. Justice will not be served. Justice will not be. Criminal activity will not be reprehended.
I hope you're wrong on that skepticism. I really hope so. Another thing is, because it's something people aren't talking about, the fact that a number of people around Joe Biden are Jewish, and Merrick Garland is, there could be a wave of anti-Semitism like there is about Asian Americans having threatened.
Yeah.
That's another thing,
yeah,
the anti-Semitism, you know.
And it won't be like it's the first time that Asians and Jews in this country have been attacked, beaten, simply because of their ethnicity.
Yeah, Governor Hogan today was on different talk shows talking about his wife is Korean and his children and grandchildren are Korean, and he's very worried. It's because of that, but he's worried because it's his family, but anybody should be worried. We had a 93-year-old man, I think, 84-year-old woman attacked who's different.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they're necessarily Chinese, but they're Asian. It's just...
Yeah.
What's going on?
Look, these three tooth goobers could not tell if someone's Chinese, Vietnamese, Japanese, Korean. They're all, I'm going to do air quotes here and forgive me, right? They're in their mind, they're all chinks.
Yes.
Yeah, derogatory term.
And even people, I think, from India, you know, which is South Asia, could also be, you know, because either Hindu or Muslim or Pakistani, that's still Asian in a different area. So I mean, even they, I think, are facing growing threats. And, of course, Muslims have all along since 9/11.
Yeah, well, that was, there was a guy, was down in Arizona. He was a Sikh Indian.
Or a
turban.
Yes.
And there was a good old, of course he had his gun, good old redneck dumbass, right? Probably couldn't do third or second grade math. But there was one of those goddamn, there was one of those damn ragheads, right? And he shot him, killed the man.
Oh, God.
Is this recent? Indian.
Is this recent?
That was been about 2 years ago now.
Oh, well, I know that a few Sikhs with Muslims and Hindus, because they don't understand any of this, and they just, they're different, they're not white, European,
Yeah. So
Native Americans in this country, of course, always face discrimination. We can't forget that either.
Yeah. There's a dumbass redneck woman, and there's a Native American that said that, quick shop. And the redneck told her, said, "You need to go back to the country you came from."
It's just, I am in my country.
Yeah, you need to leave my country, bitch.
That's true.
That's the kind of stupidity that's going on. It's the Republican Party, and they have been doing it since Reagan really proliferated under Rush Limbaugh.
Yes.
A society of hate speech, nihilistic, venomous aspects, and made it okay, gave it validity and stuff. That's why, like I said, 2005, I warned Jack Kemp of the Republican Party welcoming in all this extreme aspect of the John Birch Society, the Klansmen, the Tea Party, right, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Into the ranks, and to him and the upper aspects of the Republican Party at the time, it was a good demographics to whip up at election time and motivate. And he says, when it's time to whip up the nut jobs, to get them out and vote, because they will turn out and vote. And then that's when I told him. I said, then you need to reevaluate your morals.
How did he react when you actually said that to him? He just knocked it off, like he ignored it.
He was like, you're just a little peon here, right? You're just a little, 30-year-old, from Eastern Shore of Maryland here, right? I was a football player, and I was a vice president candidate, right? And, what value added can you really pass on to me? It's that kind of an attitude.
Yeah.
Right. It was not what he wanted to hear.
Yeah. Well, the things about Jack Kemp, You know, I never thought very much of him. Sort of over time, I thought he was better than many. But the old joke would be he played too much football without a helmet.
Well, that's just that's a very good point, and that was the demographic. All he was a dumbass jock who had the physical abilities to play at that level, and then he just marketed that fame and getting his paycheck from the Republican Party, going around just touting the Karl Rove line of taking down stuff, because I said, you know, we're running up too much of a deficit. Well, it's only 15% of the GDP, right? And I said, it's still way too much.
Yeah.
Before
well,
that,
you mentioned Karl Rove. Karl Rove has been lately very critical of the swing of the Republican Party to the Trumpites. So he's even come out to look to see that it's dangerous what's been going on.
Who's this now, Professor?
Karl Rove, who worked under.
Well, that was just it. Yeah. When after the 2005 and stuff, and when the 2010 elections, when they took over the House and stuff from
Democrats, yeah.
Yeah, from the Democrats, but under the Obama administration, and this is where you really saw the reactionary, conservative, nihilistic fanaticism really get elected. And it was always like, if you ain't with us, you're against us. And, this is where the term RINO, Republican in name only, you're really not one of us, matter of fact, that's how my good friend Wayne Gilchrist got beat by that corporate shill Andy Harris.
He's still there.
Here in Maryland. Was he rode that Tea Party wave of we're in power now and we don't know jack shit. We believe in stuff that's not even tangible, no critical thinking skills, but they purged Wayne Gilchrist out.
Yeah. But even when
Andy Harris.
And I never cared for Speaker Boehner, but even he's written a book condemning what's been happening lately, and he looks more rational than Paul Ryan did, and Paul Ryan, even he looks better than Kevin McCarthy, now the Republican leader. He's monstrous, Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah.
It's all gone downhill, where even people who you didn't, who you couldn't give any respect to, now you see someone that was just being quiet and going along, but they realize, my God, just like, there was just too much has gone on, and even Karl Rove seems to. And look, George W. Bush, with all his faults, always made it clear, do not pick on people who are Muslim. He made that clear. He was never supportive of that kind of a thing. So, there are some people that don't go all the way, as most have,
Well, that was just it. Karl Rove, in that 2010 election, spent hundreds of millions of dollars trying to keep the Tea Party fanaticism candidates out of the congressional and Senate offices. And after spending all that money, because Karl Rove knew that, they had opened Pandora's box, and they had a situation that they were not controlling any longer. It was the, inmates were controlling the insane asylum. He spent hundreds of millions of dollars trying to keep his wealth down, and he failed.
And look now, in 2020, we get Lauren Boebert, we get, Madison Cawthorn from North Carolina, we get Marjorie Taylor Greene. And these are even worse than the ones before.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This fanatic. Well, look, Trump was the epitome of all the collation of all this hate speech and the lies of Fox News and Tucker and Rush Limbaugh and all of his clones like that. This is Joseph Goebbels' hate speech. The science of propaganda is what they called it in the 30s. The big lie, and now they're paying the price because we have some real serious aspects going on right now.
The we do.
Proud Boys, the Boogalooter Gang, or whatever the hell they call themselves, right? The Oath Keepers are religious fanatics, and they're no different than the Muslims that are going to run across the minefield to open it up so the tanks can get through they're going to sacrifice themselves on the sword of justice, thinking they're dying for Christ is their mentality.
Wow. It's a bad situation. election. And I'm just worried because the House is only a small margin and the Senate is even. And go by history, the party in the White House loses seats. So I'm scared they could lose both houses. But I think by moving ahead and being aggressive and doing more than just this bill, which is great, you know, the American Rescue Plan, hopefully they can gain seats and keep control. And, because some people are saying this could be an FDR New Deal period if he only does it right and they stay together. And if he does, the FDR gained seats in 1934 and 36.
Well, that's what we kind of need. And the real thing is, the real quest, and I see it every morning, get this pandemic under control. That's the project number one, priority.
Interesting. He had said 100 million doses in 100 days, and as he said this past week, it's going to be 100 million doses in 60 days. So we're way ahead.
The production, they have really ramped up the production with Johnson & Johnson. Competing pharmaceutical companies giving each other their formulas, their secret formulas, so that the other one can help produce everything.
This is like World War II when this happens. You know, companies work together.
That's a very good analogy. Now, the thing is, the other thing they need to do is get H.R. 1 passed, you know, Stacey Abrams, give her everything she needs to make sure and get to registering other votes in there, because if they can squelch and remove people from the voting rolls, and that's the only way the Republicans win, because that's their game plan right now going across the country, is to basically throw people and make it hard for good people, honest people to vote. And with the gerrymandering of the districts still under their control, then they will win back the House and Senate, and we're going to be screwed. That's the second thing that we got to do. People of this country have the right to vote. Make sure they have that right to vote. Don't let these Republicans take that away from them.
There's some talk of Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia becoming states. And, of course, they would probably add mostly Democratic seats to the House. And
well, that definitely would be in Washington, D.C. And I'd say probably Puerto Rico, too. Right.
Puerto Rico would probably have about 4 or 5 seats based on their population in the House. And also, the filibuster, even Manchin seems to be willing to modify the filibuster to require a talking filibuster. So if they want a filibuster, they're going to have to all get up there and talk constantly like they used to years ago.
Yeah.
And that could mean we could really have the filibuster, the effectiveness of it, indeed diminished.
Well, that is going to be a real battle in itself, Professor. We all know that and stuff. Like one of the things that came to my mind was the early voting, like in Georgia. They were able to vote on Sunday. Go down to the mail-in ballots, the drop-off ballots, they were throwing those all out, you know, like they had issues with it. Actually, it was working very well. But the black churches, after their services and church let out, then they all lined up and marched down to their voting places and voted on that Sunday. They came in masses. There was a picture of it, and it looked like it was just a sea of people along the road, filling the road, that went on for miles.
But also, I want to point out that white churchgoers could do the same thing. It's not only minority churchgoers. They may not do it, but they could.
Exactly right. Yes.
Yeah.
And, but they know that that was one of the large clutch of votes were the black voters marching on Sunday after church to go cast their vote right after church.
Florida had an election where nobody would deny that it was done fairly, but still the legislature is trying to make it more difficult in Florida.
Florida, Georgia. Again, it's all that southern. Let's put back we need the Jim Crow laws back in to get these people back in line for they know their place. You know, it's that kind of a mentality.
But also Iowa.
And Eastern Shore, Maryland is like that.
And Iowa is also, it's woman governor. It's a monstrous Kim Reynolds. Oh, my God. And also in South Dakota, you know, Kristi Noem, who thinks she's going to be president. These people, oh my God. You know, I used to think having women in government was good, and it is, but there's definitely a difference between Democratic and Republican women in government.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, it's you know, the women are 51% of the population. they definitely should have a voice. Now, are we going to paint with a big broad brush and saying now all this 51% is going to vote this way? No.
Well, what gets me is these Republican women, especially the governors and even the senators, are not like they used to be. Christy Todd Whitman was governor of New Jersey. She was a moderate Republican and somebody you could admire. It's very hard to admire most of the women that are running governors or the governors or even most of them in the Senate. You know, maybe Lisa Murkowski is an exception, but it's just you can tell by just what they say which party they are, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's still the same old hate speech, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's just a different gender coming out of a different gender's mouth. It's the same thing.
Yes.
They are touting the party line. They are selling the party, the business of the party, the marketing.
Oh, God.
This is their ads.
Yeah, you know,
those people are your problem.
Yeah, I'm saying there's some people thinking Marjorie Taylor Greene might run for president. Can you believe this? She's got the time because she can't. She's not in any committee. So there's some rumors about she might be in the running for being to run. Not she's going to be the nominee, but the woman is such a nightmare. She needs to be committed, I think.
Well, yeah, there was something that came out and said she's counting. Well, there in Georgia, I won 74% of the vote. You ran unopposed, you know.
Yes.
You know, of course you got 74%. There wasn't anybody else to pick unless you wrote in Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck or, you know, Barney the Purple Dinosaur, right?
Yeah. But she made a legislative move to delay the vote in the House on the, you know, she's so obscene. She, just to delay it. What is wrong with this woman?
Yeah.
And she has children, I think. Imagine having that woman as a mother.
Well, here's one for her. Say if she was your wife, and she's already screwed out with her weight trainer, she's already screwed out on you with somebody else here and had affairs, right? If I was her husband, I'd have to have an STD test so they make sure, what the hell has she passed on to me?
Oh, come on, guys.
I'm sorry.
We're going to devolve down to that.
Well,
and believe me, I'm ready to. I've had a very bad week as far as that goes. So.
You woke up when we mentioned her.
Well, here's what I'm saying.
What I did
here she
was
is saying, I have these
talking
high moral
about
values
a woman.
No, I don't care if it's a man or a woman. Okay, I mean, look.
So let me
straight. Donald Trump, right,
cheating
who thought
is
he
bad.
Had the privilege to grab women by, you know, the intimate parts of their body because it was his right, his privilege to be able to do so because if you're famous, they let you do it.
And now we have Andrew Cuomo doing it. Oh,
I'm having an equal aspect of putting her in the exact same thing as I would Donald Trump.
Yeah, but imagine Andrew Cuomo now. It looks like he's destroyed, but he's not leaving. Oh, my God. And his brother can't say a thing about him on CNN because he can't bring it up, you know?
On the subject of cheating, I'm a little touchy this week, so.
That's all
you
right,
know.
We, you know, we love you.
Damn.
So you are allowed to, okay?
I'm allowed to. What I'm saying, though, is, you know, we can't we let the bullshit about people's personal lives get put in another place, you know?
Ideally, yes, but that doesn't work that way in politics.
It has.
I'm going to say, I want my leadership and those who govern and those who make decisions for my life to have in the same morals as I would. There's no way in hell would I ever screw out on my wife or commit adultery with her.
Let's
agree with you, but you realize how boring a person you are.
Gentlemen, you know, good people make mistakes all the time. Good people make mistakes all the time. I wouldn't have thrown the baby out with the bathwater on a lot of them. But we're done for this Sunday because we are about 30 seconds away from closing. So thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, we had a good time.
Yes. And, minds and times with F. Wayne Johnson, You can read a lot about what I talked about tonight of my conversation with Jack Kemp, an hour-long one, one-on-one. You can find that there. Professor, your call.
Okay, I'm on the progressiveprofessor.com, and I'm also on History News Network under my name, Ronald L. Fineman, and I'm on, of course, Facebook and Twitter. And I thank you both again for a great hour.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Gwen?
Thank you, gentlemen. And, of course, we are produced and funded by Daughters of Isis, Inc., daughtersofisis.com. The fragrant memories of our ancestors. Go over and give us a look. Thank you, guys. I will see you next Sunday.
Great.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks
Always
much.
A pleasure. Take care.
Thanks.
Be safe out there, folks. Wear the mask.
You too. Great.
Yep.
That's our show.